Thank you so much, choir. I'd like to welcome you again. There's many faces that we have visiting here, and we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us on this Sabbath day. I almost forgot that we do have a first reading for our head elder, George Johnston. That is the first reading of our head elder, George Johnston. As we get into the morning message, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me. Gracious Father above, giver of every good and great gift, we come to you at this time in which we remember the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. And we want to know you more. We want to hear your voice. We hear so much day in and day out, oh God. But at this moment, we want to hear you. Speak to us, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Little known fact about myself, I've driven many times through Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Not a whole lot there, if you ask me, at least in my city slicker mind. But the Bethlehem that we kind of really focus on at this time of year has nothing to do with Pennsylvania, but a whole lot farther east. This is a time of year in which we remember a king. And the thing about this king is that he doesn't look like a king. He's a little shorter than most. The King of Heaven leaves heaven, leaves the praise and worship of billions of angels, leaves where all is perfect, peaceful, and at rest, and in harmony, and chooses to come down to this dark, evil, hopeless, sinful world. He doesn't come with his mighty angels. He comes all by himself. He doesn't even come as an adult, for that matter, who could fend for himself. He comes as a little bitty baby. Defenseless, powerless, dependent on his parents for everything. For these last 2 years, my wife and I have been privileged to be able to spend Christmas with babies. It's a new experience. And at least in this chapter of our lives currently, twice a week I go to DHS so that there can be visits with the birth parents. And so I get there, and a caseworker comes, I give them the baby, and I trust that the baby's gonna be okay. I mean, it's hard to trust somebody else with your child, is it not? But could you imagine how heaven must have felt when their king takes the form of fallen man and is born not at the Waldorf Astoria, but in a barn, trusting Joseph and Mary that they will do their part in taking care of the king of heaven. The Savior of the world is born. And nobody has a clue of what just occurred. And it's odd because the Bible says in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, who? The prophets. Did God keep his mouth shut on the greatest gift ever given to the universe? The Bible says no. God said that the seed of the woman would be crushing the serpent's head, and now that was going to happen. So if God wasn't silent about Jesus' first coming, then why didn't people know?
Specifically, why didn't God's people know, of all people? The Spirit of Prophecy says, the leaders in Israel profess to understand the prophecies. Yeah, we know that. But they had received false ideas in regard to the manner of Christ's coming. Satan had deceived them. How? And all the glories of Christ's second advent, they applied to his first appearing. All the wonderful events clustering around his second coming, they looked for at his first. Therefore, when he came, they were not prepared to receive him. They were expecting all the glories of heaven to be present at his first coming, and that was exactly what did not occur. What did happen is that they find a lowly baby lying in a manger. And we could be thinking, too, that the devil can't trick us as he tricked the Jews 2,000 years ago in regards to Christ's first coming. Or can he? How did God's people know about the coming Messiah? Didn't God tell Zechariah, who was serving in the temple, that the Messiah was soon to be born, and he doubted even about his own wife, Elizabeth, that was pregnant with child herself, and because of it, he was left mute for some time? Oh, that's right. You see, Satan's strategy is twofold. Number one, he would have us think we don't need a Savior. How do I know this? What church best represents us in the book of Revelation? Granted, there's a little bit of all seven churches in us, but time-wise and historically speaking and characteristically-wise, we are Laodicea. And here's the thing about Laodicea. We think we don't need anything. We got it all. I mean, Laodicea. We think we're wonderful, but the Bible says we're wretched. We think we're really happy, but the Bible says we're miserable. We think we got the goods and the dough. The Bible says we are poorest in the most important things, such as godliness. We think our vision is 20/20, spiritually speaking, but the Bible says we can't even see what's in front of us and calls us blind. We think we got nice threads. And the Bible says that we are embarrassed because we are naked without the robe of Christ's righteousness. His second strategy is that he would have us think that Jesus isn't coming in glory. I mean, it's Christmas season. What do we do at Christmas season? We get together with our family, of which some of you are here visiting family. We get the gifts, maybe, if we were naughty or nice. Nice. And we have a wonderful, amazing food. And then a few days later, bring out the resolutions to burn off the calories because of all the food we ate during Christmas season. And we talk about recent political events, and we talk about this, and we do that. And we do this again and again. And again, year after year after year, as if maybe Jesus isn't coming. As if the events connected with his coming won't come to fruition. As if there will be other periods of grace that God will give us. No? This is it. Now is the time to seek him. Amen? While he may be found. Turn with me to the book of Luke, where today's message is centered on. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You see, last Christmas I preached on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, so I just thought I'd continue the story. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Question. Why was it so important for Luke to mention in the Christmas story about these shepherds? I mean, they're just shepherds after all. What significance could these shepherds have in this story? I mean, besides having extra characters in the Christmas program. The angels of heaven were so excited what Jesus was doing for lost humanity, and they couldn't contain themselves. There was a party going on in heaven. And some would like to think that we should not recognize that Jesus actually came the first time and celebrate Christmas. No, if heaven was having a party, should we not as well? You can say amen. That it wasn't the exact date that he came, December 25th, yeah, that's true. But that he actually came, that's the greater truth. What happens when babies are born? What do we do? We gotta go see the baby. That's what we do. We welcome the baby to this world, and look what was going on with this angel that appears to the shepherds. An angel visits the earth to see who are prepared to welcome Jesus, but he can discern no tokens of expectancy. He hears no voice of praise and triumph that the period of Messiah's coming is at hand. The angel hovers for a time over the chosen city and the temple where the divine presence has been manifested for ages. But even here is the same indifference. The priests, in their pomp and pride, are offering polluted sacrifice in the temple. The Pharisees are with loud voices addressing the people or making boastful prayers at the corners of the streets. In the palaces of kings, in the assemblies of philosophers, in the schools of the rabbis, all are alike unmindful of the wondrous fact which has filled all heaven with what? Joy and praise that the Redeemer of men is about to appear upon the earth. There is no evidence that Christ is expected and no preparation for the Prince of Life. In amazement, the celestial messenger is about to return to heaven with the shameful tidings when he discovers who? A group of shepherds who are watching their flocks by night. And as they gaze into the starry heavens, are contemplating the prophecy of a Messiah to come to earth and longing for the advent of the world's Redeemer, here is a company that is prepared to meet the heavenly message. These shepherds get to see the angel. And it is these shepherds that get to see the glory of the Lord. And what was their reaction to what they were witnessing? The Bible says that there was fear. Fear that they could die from the brightness of the angels, of what they were witnessing. But get this. If they had not been contemplating and thinking about the prophecy and their longings for the coming Redeemer, do they get to see the angel and the angels? No, they don't. Furthermore, as amazing as it must have been to have seen the angels, the prophecy isn't about the angels. The prophecy is about Jesus. In fact, every prophecy is about Jesus. And you might be wondering, what's the big deal about prophecy anyway? What's the difference whether or not I know prophecy or not? What difference does it make if I believe in the prophecies and live in their expectancy? Well, that's a very easy answer. Prophecy prepares me to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. How about you? If the shepherds don't acquaint themselves with these prophecies, study the prophecies, live in their expectancy, guess what? They don't see Jesus. I want to see Jesus when he returns. How about you? Maybe it's time we revisit the prophecies.
so glad you agree, because come January, as we've journeyed through Genesis, we will start a journey through Revelation. Verse 10. The angel said what? Don't be afraid. Why? Because the angel has good news. He has great joy for me, for you. No, has great joy for everybody. And the question is this. Don't you want some good news? When was the last time you heard some good news? Maybe it's been a while by that reaction. I remember when we got some good news. Some good news that included you and it included me. What was the good news? It was the news that God was calling us to come to Roseburg. And when I got that news, I said, praise God. It made me think of we typically remember a lot of Negro spirituals, but this one is a African-American song. And the simple lyrics say, I got a home up in that kingdom. Yeah, yeah. I've got a home up in that kingdom. Yeah, yeah. And then the chorus says, ain't that good news? Was it good news that we are able to have this journey together? Yeah, that's good news. But the good news that the angel gave that day in Bethlehem was good news for you and for me of the Messiah that had finally come. And he's coming again. God has some good news. These shepherds, they ain't never seen an angel. They had not ever seen angels that were so bright. And these angels shine. You thought you needed some special glasses when we had the eclipse. Mm-mm. This was so much brighter. And let me tell you something about God's messengers. They shine. Why do they shine? Because they've been with the source of light, Jesus Christ. When you're with Jesus, you shine. It's time to be with Jesus. Are you ready for some more good news? Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Where was he born? Bethlehem. That's where he was born. The Savior of the world. Wow. The Lord, the Messiah, is finally born. God's people have been waiting 4,000 years for this to happen, and it finally happens. The prophecy is being fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, the Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto you, the angel said. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angel now tells these shepherds how they'll be able to find Jesus. How they'll be able to find the Messiah, the Lord. Because if the angel doesn't give these details, the shepherds would still be looking for baby Jesus right now. If they fail to have listened to these instructions, these prophetic details, they don't find Jesus. I wonder if this still applies to us in 2019. If we fail to follow God's word, if we fail to live according to his prophecies, guess what? We won't be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. The angel gives a location, how the baby's going to be dressed, and what type of crib they order from Amazon. A manger. And as soon as the angel said this, boom! Angels filled the sky. What a sight that must have been. Verse 13 says, angels everywhere, and they're shining brightly, and they're singing. Could you imagine what that must have been like? Angels
will actually be singing
here tonight at 6 p.m. So come and bring a friend. Verse 14, the Bible says, this is what they said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the lowest. Is that what they sang? No, that's a different song. It's in the highest, they said. In heaven, there is glory. In fact, heaven itself is also known as the land of glory, glory land. Why? Because God is there. Thus, God's glory is there. His name is there. His character is there. And let me tell you, his character is a whole lot higher than mine is. And these angels gave the shepherds, and they give us a reminder that God wants to reveal his glory in your life and in mine. He wants to transform me to look like him. And here's the question that I need to wrestle with. Does my life give God glory in the lowest, in the highest? And if my life does not give glory to God in the highest, then maybe I'm not as close to the source of light that I thought I was. Because glory, we are told, is to be in the highest. Paul writes, to them God will to make known that are the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is Jesus in you? Is Jesus in me? Because if not, then all this season is about is wrapping paper. I hope that's not what this season is about. Luke 2:14. On earth was to be what? Peace, goodwill towards men. There will only be one place where we'll ever find peace, and that's in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Some of us could be going here, going there, maybe even popping some pills trying to get some peace, but we're not going to find it there. Peace can only be found in him. You got Jesus? You got peace. You don't have Jesus. You got worry and fear. How do you think heaven feels about you? You think heaven feels good about you? Or maybe kind of so-so? Here the Bible says something amazing. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. What's that mean? The God that we have isn't one that's bent on retribution. The God that we have is one who wants to bless you, who wants to give you a hope and a future, who wants to give you good news. You know, it's interesting. God gives this message through the angels of fearing not of glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But what did God just finish doing? He just gave them his own son as a baby. Amazing. A baby. That's what he sends. God must love us a whole lot. Given us his only son. Verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The angels make a U-turn, go back home, and the shepherds choose to do one thing and one thing only. What do? We've got to go to Bethlehem. That's what they choose to do. When do you think was a good time to do that? What'd they say? Let us go now. They had to go see this baby. They had to go see the King, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I mean, they could have said, I can't go right now. I got sheep to take care of. I can't go right now. I'm in the middle of a text message. I can't go. I need to do this first. I need to do that first. If the Savior had just come from, where did he come from? Heaven. The Savior had just come from heaven. And you could see him with your own eyes and touch him with your own hands. Once you put some hand sanitizer on, that's apparent in me. When was the last time someone came to see you from heaven? I can't remember myself. Don't you want to go see him? Which makes me wonder, how do we treat Jesus? We've got to go where, church family? Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. What's the bread? The Bible, which leads me to the living bread, Jesus Christ. Are we going to Bethlehem? I'm not talking about Bethlehem near Galilee. I'm not talking about Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm talking about Bethlehem, the Word of God. When we come to the Bible, guess who we'll find? Jesus. We find Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, because Jesus is found in every book of the Bible. Why? Because all of the Bible is about Jesus. The shepherds say they needed to go to Bethlehem when? Now. We need to go to the Bible now. If we don't come to the Bible, guess what? We won't find Jesus. We won't see Jesus, much less have the fruit of him abiding in our lives, a character that looks like Jesus. But here's the thing. We think we can go to Bethlehem whenever we feel like it. As if Jesus is always going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. One of the beauties of having babies, specifically a newborn, is that they don't move. No, seriously. You put them there and they're not moving. You can go do this, do that, turn around. And there they are. But soon, our new little munchkin will be moving here and there and everywhere, and we'll have to keep our eyes peeled. And soon, Jesus is going to be moving from the most holy place and no longer intercede for us. The question is this: am I going to Bethlehem? Jesus will then be moving again, and we will see him with our own eyes altogether. Could it be time for me and for you to go to Bethlehem? Now? Don't let people nor things get in the way of you getting to the house of bread, the Word of God. There's one other detail about that evening. The shepherds weren't the only ones who saw the angelic host. Who else saw them angels?
saw them angels. In fact, when he saw the angels, he trembled because he realized that now he has a rival. In fact, it was after this scene that the devil sees that he inspired Herod to make sure that those babies were killed. So the devil, after spending Jesus' lifetime here on earth trying to get him killed, and that was to no avail, maybe now the devil is just sitting around doing nothing.
You mean the devil's busy?
If he couldn't literally kill Jesus when he was still here on earth, then now his focus has shifted to make sure that Jesus is dead to you and dead to me. Is Jesus alive?
The last part of this story.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. These shepherds, they get booking to Bethlehem. They find Mary and Joseph. And what else did they find that? They found Jesus. They found Jesus because they listened to the angel. They found Jesus because they made the decision to go to Bethlehem. Have you found Jesus? The shepherds tell them all about what they had just seen. Amazing, just amazing stories. Those who heard their testimony were an awesome wonder, and Mary just hid these stories in her heart. Now here's the part that I love about this story. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. They see Jesus and they can't keep their mouths shut. They couldn't stop talking about Jesus, because here's the thing, when you see Jesus, Jesus changes you. When you come in contact with Jesus, he transforms everything about us. There once was a woman at the well who became an evangelist and transformed and converted a whole city of Samaria. There was a blind man who met Jesus, and not only could he see, but he rebuked a whole synagogue. There was a demoniac who confounded everyone around him. Why? Because they came in contact and found Jesus. And not only did they find Jesus, they let him come inside. Words came out this way, came out that way, all about Jesus. And as we close this morning, my question to us this day is this. Are we like these shepherds? Glorifying God and praising him as if there was no tomorrow, and all we can do is talk about Jesus. Maybe. Just maybe it's time to go to Bethlehem. It is my prayer that we may do this now.
Now that we have heard the good news, let us go and tell it on the mountain and everywhere else. Shall we stand as we sing our closing song, 121, all four verses, or three verses.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you, Father, for giving us your own Son, Jesus, to be our light, to be our guide, to be our Savior from sin and death. And today, we want to go to Bethlehem. Today, we want to know you. Today, we want to find you and bring you inside of our hearts. Father, may we not allow ourselves to go elsewhere, to be preoccupied with things that do not satisfy. May we come to see Jesus every day. As soon we will see him come in glory. May we all be found ready. In Jesus' name, amen.